This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That was the wrong button. That was the wrong button to start the show right there.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We a number one spot, fresh from sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We a number one
spot. Hey, what's good, what's good? One more time, just for fun. We welcome in here to the Monday, October 28th edition of D'Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God Bone himself.
Y'all know what it is. He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
The very worst, man. And we in here not feeling great because the Kings are still looking for their first dub after... Well, it was just a LeBron James, Anthony Davis ass whooping in the fourth quarter on Saturday night. Well, we will talk about that, Tragic. But some feeling pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Because the San Francisco 49ers get a victory against the Dallas Cowboys last night on Sunday Night Football. My brother, we will start there. We'll get to the Kings for sure. There's plenty to talk about with the Sacramento Kings, and we will do that, and we will do that this hour because they're back at the Golden 1 Center tonight, and they've got Portland. And I don't know, man. We're going to have to talk.
What we got to talk about? What are we talking about? I want to know.
I don't know, man. I just don't feel great.
About the game or about the Kings?
Yep. Yep.
I'll put it to you like this. I don't feel, look, they're 0-2. Nobody wants that. But I don't feel any type of way about this team. I do believe that the next five games or so will tell us about where this team is at right now. It's not going to define their season. It's not who they are or anything like that. But we'll know if, hey, these first two games were just basketball games and two good teams playing and you lost a close game, or if fundamentally – they need to go back to the drawing board and get some things together, because I look at these next five games or so, and I know you don't like to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I need 4-1. I need 4-1 at least.
Never worked.
I need that, though. I need that.
Do they? Yeah. Do they know that they need that?
Yes, I think they do. Now, here's the other thing about it. To start the season, you weren't going to learn a lot about this team in the respect of, oh, things have changed. Because they played good teams good last year. This is where you're going to learn about, did they learn their lessons? Did they improve? Because you've got teams that, even though it's early and the bad teams don't know they're bad yet, they're still, you should be able to take care of business. Last year they didn't. Last year they didn't beat Portland. They didn't beat, well, I mean, they did sometimes, but you lost the game to Portland. You lost the game to Charlotte. You lost the game to Detroit. We all know that. Now you're looking at the thing where Portland and Utah have looked awful in the first three games of the season. Right. Atlanta's looked so-so, so that's maybe a decent team. But Toronto's looked just as bad as Portland and Utah, and you've got them coming up twice.
Yeah,
I need you guys, Sacramento Kings, to take care of business. And that's what's going to tell me if this year is trending towards being different than last year. You take care of those teams that you're – at the worst case scenario, your roster's more talented, in my opinion, than those teams.
Facts.
So take care of those teams.
Okay. All right. Starts tonight at the Golden 1 Center. We'll talk about us. Let's get to why my man is happy.
Well, you know.
He was in the building last night.
Well, you know what I mean? Hey,
know. Let's try this. Let's try this.
Yeah, it's over. Yeah.
It was in the building.
Yeah.
At any point in the fourth quarter, did you get nervous?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay.
Absolutely. When Brock
got... I was already practicing a fake cough just in case. I was like, guys, I think I got hit with a late dose of COVID. I can't be in tomorrow.
Right? Hey, when Brock got sacked on that second down play, I said, oh, man, here we go. Here we go. Oh, yeah, I was nervous for sure. But, you know, look, hey, the Niners, you know, they lost to the Chiefs the week before. You know, they hadn't been playing great football. You know what they did during the week? They went to the doctor's office. Yeah, it's like, man, we got a case of the under 500s. We don't feel good. Doctor said,
I'm sorry, sir. What did you just say?
The under 500s. They were under 500. They were 3-4. They got a case of the under 500s.
I'm sorry. Plenty of teams suffer every week.
Well, no, they said we got a case of the under 500. The doctor said, look, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to prescribe the Cowboys. I'm going to prescribe the Cowboys for you. A little Theraflu for you. The NFL's version of Theraflu. I'm going to prescribe the Cowboys and call me in the morning. It worked. Pepto-Biz Cowboys out here.
Wow.
That's tough.
And look, it's all good.
It's not wrong.
It's all you needed. It's not. It's tough for the Cowboys.
That's all you needed. That's all you needed, man. You feel good in the morning after, you know, a little Pepto-Biz Cowboy, a little thorough Cowboy that you had to take care of. You handle business. You got to win. And look, this win, it doesn't fix everything. But it lines things up like we talked about 2 weeks ago. I talked about getting to the bye week, 4-4, staying above water, keeping your head above water. Hopefully after the bye, you start to get guys back. And, you know, Christian McCaffrey, I know Greenlaw isn't directly after the bye, but I think they're hoping maybe December. And who knows? I'm not expecting anything from Greenlaw, even if he plays. So I want to make that clear. But maybe an emotional boost or something like that. Juwan Jennings should be back after the bye.
But there's a thought that he won't be back, right?
Yeah, I would not be surprised at all if we don't see him at all.
Talking about Dre Greenlaw.
Dre Greenlaw. Yeah. So, you know, you got that thought, and by going 4-4, you give yourself an opportunity. It doesn't guarantee anything. You can fall flat on your face after the bye. Mm-hmm. But it gives you an opportunity to keep the season going. You're right there at the top of the standings in the NFC West. So you took care of that. Yes, you lost against the Chiefs, and nobody liked that. But I mentioned 2 weeks ago, these two games, I just need one of them. I love both of them. I just need one of them. They got the one. They're going into the bye. And now I think coming out of the bye with Tampa Bay, who's going to be ailing a little bit physically, and Seattle, who is, you're in direct competition with the NFC West. Now I've stepped into must-win territory. You got to win these two games out of the bye. You got to win these two games out of the bye. It's still, because of the division, maybe it's not as dire to win them both, but I'm looking at the Kenny Index, the KC Index. You need to win these two right
here. Where do you find that at?
You know, somewhere in South Side.
Okay. Yeah. Well, of course, obviously.
You go to the Kenny Index. You got to win these two.
Yeah.
You got to win these two games. And the way I was thinking about it on the way in, you've got nine games left. They're eight games in. You've got nine games left in a 17-game series season. You've got – if you lose three games, if you go 6-3, that puts you at 10-7. That should get you in the playoffs. That should, you know, potentially get you the division. Let's just say, for argument's sake, they lose Green Bay and Buffalo, because everybody thinks they're going to lose those two games. Let's just throw those out the window. You got one game, quote unquote, to play with at that point. It can't be one of these two games, in my opinion. You got to win this one because Tampa Bay's down a little bit, and because Seattle is in the division, and you sweep that season series, and yeah. Get to that Green Bay game at 6-4. That's the goal. That's what needs to happen. Feel good, though. Feel good.
Good. There's a lot to talk about with this game. There is a ton. to talk about. I'm excited to talk about it. And then, you know, we got to get to the Kings. We got to talk about what happened versus the Lakers. That was weird. I mean, anytime you see a 21-0 run, it's weird.
Crazy.
But, like, it was like, LeBron. Did no one notice Anthony Davis was 5 of 5 in that quarter?
Oh, man. Well,
dude scored 30 points.
I'm gonna talk about that game.
I don't talk about that game.
Because, I think people jumped off the ledge a little bit with that game. And LeBron going crazy was LeBron going crazy, but I think there was something else in that game that you just.
Well, goddammit, that's a hell of a tease. I can't wait to hear what you're talking about. So we'll get to the Sacramento Kings this hour. We gave an overview of the San Francisco 49ers. Let's get into a slightly more micro view of what we saw. We'll take a look around the division as well, and why one jackass felt like he needed to take the spotlight away from his teammates. And then bitched out when it came time to address it.
Oh, brother.
Steeler with KC. Brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. 4 freaking years, man.
KC has this incredible story. No clue what he's going to say. Can't wait.
No, yeah, no clue at all. I'm going to tell you something. I'll save it for a commercial break. And then he tells this story during the commercial break that we're all like, on the edge of our seat for, and all I could think of is you didn't think this should go out on the radio?
I didn't know, man. Wait.
This is why I hang out with Katie on the weekend. This is why
Katie definitely would have said it on the air.
Yeah,
she would have held it for the air. I said, I gotta learn from the greats, man.
And that's why we were at MAP training together. Head over to trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. You can check out the video we did this weekend. Shout out to our man Leezy for getting up early and coming hanging out with us. We're telling a great story over there at MAP training. You can go to trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. Book your free nutritionist consultation. They've got online training. They got a free macro calculator. And of course, they've got all of the great supplements that I take every day. I'm in a groove right now with my fitness. And that's all thanks to Greg. I can't wait for you to see the rest of the stuff that Leezy filmed of us over the weekend. We're going to have that stuff out on social media, plus much, much more over the course of the next coming weeks. Again, go to trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. You want to grab some supplements, click on the link that takes you directly to MapTrition. You could try the protein powders, the strength enhancers, all of that good stuff that I take every single day. Again, I'm in my bag right now. Not with Prize Picks, but I'm in my bag with
MapTrition. We'll talk about Prize Picks. I love Prize Picks, but we'll talk about that in a little bit.
All right. Do you want to summarize your story? And then, like, you were hanging on the edge of our seat. For those who are just tuning in, Patrick Willis asked for a picture with Kenny Caraway, and Kenny said, nah, man, not today, bro. I don't really feel like taking pictures.
No, so look, I was telling everybody during the break, I went to the 49ers game last night, and I was on the, you know, I went with a media credential. And I've done like 2 or 3 games before with the media with the 49ers, but I haven't been there since before the pandemic. The last Niners game I went to as a member of the media was 49ers Vikings divisional round. That was 2019. I've never been there as a member of the media since the pandemic. So it's been a while. That's like 5 years. So one thing I didn't do before was I didn't do the whole, you know, field access, go down there, you know, take video of what's going on down there. And I wanted to do that this time because I had never done that before. So I was down on the field pregame. And like I was telling Damian, we do this all the time for Kings games and basketball. And it's really cool. Mm-hmm. NFL.
It's really important. Like, I don't want to step on your story, mm-hmm. but like we show up when we can't. Well, we can't really do it now.
Yeah,
when we used
game.
To be at, right. Right. It's important to, one, not just visit with other media members, but mm-hmm. you get the opportunity to talk with assistant coaches, mm-hmm. players for a few minutes. That's pretty important to what we do.
You get information. You also just watch. And then you also build relationships with people. You know what I mean? With players, with coaches, with other media members, you know, national media, things like that. It's like, it doesn't feel like it. It is a little bit of work. I love my work, though. Like, I don't want to make it like, oh, I hate. No, this is part of the job, and I love it. So we do that all the time for the Kings games. I had never done it for the NFL games. it is times 10. Mm-hmm. The amount of people there, the amount of like what those people go through as far as like the press people, like the people in, with the 49ers who hand out credentials and make sure everything's good. Like it is basketball times 10. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, there's a lot of people down here. And so I'm down there and I'm standing in the end zone and I'm kind of by myself. And then all of a sudden, Jason Verrett and his homie come stand next to me. And I was like, oh, snap, that's Jason Verrett. That's what's up. And mind you, in all this, I'm a media guy, so I'm not going to fan out. I'm not going to talk to him. Like, I'm just going to talk to him like a media person if I do talk to him. So I said, hey, man, how you doing, man? Everything good with you? You know, health good? Yeah, yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good. I said, what you think about the team? You think they can bounce back? Yeah, I think they'll be cool or whatever. But, you know, he's there for something else. He's there, you know, seeing people and all this other stuff. So I wasn't going to talk his ear off. So everybody that came by for the 49ers was happy to see Jason Verrett. He would either get their attention or they notice him, and staff members, players, oh, Jason, what's up, man? What's up? What's up? So at one point, Talanoga Hufanga comes over and he's talking to Jason Verrett, and you guys can't see, listen on the radio, but he's right next. Damian right now is farther away than where Hufanga and Verrett were to me. They're just here. Hufanga's like, yeah, man, this is what happened to my wrist, and this is what's going on. This is what the doctors are saying. I think I could do it. He's just saying all this stuff, right? Just talking. So when they get done talking, Hufanga turns his attention towards me. He's like, hey, man, what's up, man? How you doing, man? Tell no Hufanga, man. Oh, man, yeah, I know who you are, man. Nice to meet you, big dog. And I was like, yeah, man, I'm, you know, radio show in Sacramento. I know you got Kings Connects, man. He's like, oh, yeah, man. Hey, I'm going to try and get out there during the bye or whatever. Just really nice. Like, I think he's a nice person anyway. But really nice, really engaging, out of nowhere. Just, hey, how you doing, man? Hey, good to see you. So, like, that was cool. John Lynch comes over. He sees Jason Verrett. Oh, man, hey, how you doing, big dog? John Lynch, once again, closer to me than me and Damian are right now. And I'm like, this is cool. The McCaffreys are right next to me. All the Claire Kittle is right next. All these people are right here, right? And I'm just kind of standing there. And then Patrick Willis comes. I see him walking down the end zone. I was like, oh, man, P-Dub in the house. That's what's up. This is big time. Delaney Walker was there, but I see P-Dub. I was like, okay, yeah, yeah. So he sees Jason Verrett eventually. He's like, Jace, what's up, man? How you doing, big dog? Hey, man, good to see you. Good to see you. They're talking a little bit, and I'm like, that's cool. That's a cool moment. So they finish talking maybe about 2 or 3 minutes, and then Patrick Willis turns his attention to me. He's like, what's up, man? Hey, how you doing, man? Daps me up, little bro hug. Man, what's up, man? How you doing? like, wait a minute. Yo. I don't get starstruck, but I do respect the legends when I come across them, right? Like I told you, I played with Kevin Durant, and when they game, I'm like, yo, this Kevin Durant, I'm playing a basketball. Mm-hmm. This is crazy. Saw John Wooden
a
one time.
A game you promptly lost.
Him. Oh, man, it was 7-0 in about a minute and 10 seconds. Yeah. Like, it was really quick. Grand opening, grand closing. I saw John Wooden one time. I was like, that's John Wooden, bro. Like, mm-hmm. are you kidding me? Patrick Willis, I'm like, yo. Patrick Willis, and this guy's dapping me up and like showing love. And then it kind of registers. All these people think I'm with Jason Verrett. they think I'm one of his homies. That's why they showing me love. And I'm like, oh, okay, it's all good. So then Jason Verrett, the guy he actually is with, and Patrick Willis, they ask somebody like, hey, can you take our picture or something like that? And he's like, yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yep.
And then I kind of step out the way because, you know, I'm just playing my role here. I'm just stepping out the way.
Yep.
And then Patrick Willis is like, hey, big dog, come on, get in. We're taking a picture. I said, no, man, it's good. Now, I could have stepped into the picture, but what do you think Jason Verrett and the other guy would think when they're like, yo, this random guy was in our picture with Patrick Willis?
I want to workshop this. Because I want to give full context for everyone. We all know you have a taste for the finer things. Let's try this. You get asked to take a picture, Hall of Famer, Jason Verrett. What were you wearing?
I had a D'Lo and KC.
Wow.
I did have a D'Lo and KC.
Wow.
All right, dude.
Do I have to do everything for you.
Well, look, here's
go take a lap, Kenny. Go take a lap.
Okay, not that it matters. You're right. You're right. You're right. I would have never seen that picture. That's in that guy's, I don't even think that was Verrett's phone. That was in the other guy's phone.
Yeah, but what if the guy go, what the hell is D'Lo and KC?
This is true. This is true.
And then Jason Verrett is on the show on Tuesday.
That's right.
You said you wanted more weekly guests. Jason Verrett every Thursday with D'Lo and KC. Patrick Willis every Tuesday.
Patrick Willis.
This man needs me to hold his hand everywhere. Take the picture, Kenny.
That was a bad job by me. Bad job by me.
Yes, Patrick Willis, I am friends with Mr. Jason Verrett. Thank you. Yes, I will get in your picture.
Oh, no, I dropped the bag. I was thinking about their picture, though.
Man.
Like I said, random
bro,
guy, KC, hopping in their picture.
What, Jason Verrett and Patrick Willis ain't got no pictures together? They needed to commemorate this ass-whooping of the Dallas Cowboys
the worst thing
on a random Sunday night?
Who's this guy? Oh, just deleted. That's the worst that happens.
No, you guys are right.
No.
You guys are right.
And what's D'Lo and KC? Let's look this up. Oh, let's hit these guys up on social media. Let's all be friends. Let's do their show every week.
Hey, look. Hey, everybody out there.
Hey, someone call John and Kyle. See if they want to do their show.
Look, everybody out there, go help me out. Go try to make up for what I did. And go tag Jason Verrett.
Bro, it's too late now. I'm sure Patrick Willis, after you big time him.
Don't ask the chatty house to go clean up.
I need their help. I need their help.
KC big times Patrick Willis, and Patrick Willis probably turns to Jason like, dude, your friend kind of stinks.
No, he big times Patrick Willis, and now Patrick Willis thinks, man, those D'Lo and KC guys are average.
Oh, that's a good point right there.
Oh, man. No, I fumbled. I'm like the dude, the Bears guy. I'm tweeting out.
Bro, you're 10 times worse than that guy.
Oh, man. But no, it was great. It was great. It was great.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. It was great.
It's great.
Hey, when do you think the last time Patrick Willis got turned down for a picture was?
Oh, man, look. And then I was about to be Patrick Willis' friend, though. See, this is where it got messed up. I was about to be Patrick Willis' friend. And because after all that happened, no lie, Patrick Willis was like, he kind of turned back to me because Jason started talking to somebody else. He's like, yeah, man, what's good, man? What's good? And I was about to, yo, you know, what you think about the squad, man? And he's like, you know, and then some staffer comes by. It's like, hey, Patrick, we need you to take this. And then
go ring the, whatever,
man,
he did.
Yeah, me and Patrick.
Walk with Patrick.
That's a good point.
You know what he would have done? He would have been like, hey, KC, come on, come with me.
Yeah.
But no, you blew off his picture.
Bro, if you're in the picture, you go with Patrick to ring the bell or whatever.
Well, he's still, after I blew off the picture, he still was like,
yes,
you know, maybe,
bro, there's
fighting for validation.
There's levels to this. You take the picture with him. The staffer comes to get him. He's like, oh, man, KC, let's go up to the bell or whatever
exactly.
These guys do.
Wow.
Damn.
Unbelievable.
Next week, we're in a party, and next week we could have went going to a party at Patrick Willis' house.
And look at that. And now Pat's listening to 1140.
Yeah.
Real good.
Great.
Well, you're welcome, Watkins and Styles.
It's another person we can't talk to now.
Allen would have taken the picture. Allen would have been like, hey, what's good?
No, that was a fumble. That was a fumble, boy. Boy. I got to wear that. I fumbled.
I'm glad Kenny thought this wasn't radio worthy either.
We
just spent 10 minutes on it the second time.
Incredible, dude. Just absolutely incredible.
Oh, man. It was good times, though. I saw Kevin John up there.
Yeah.
I saw Kevin John. I saw two ladies that, you know, just show love on my way up. Bonnie Jill, she works for the Cowboys. Well, sister station, 105.3 Odyssey in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
I saw her. That was great to see. I was actually sitting next to her the whole time. They put our seats together. And then I saw my girl, Tanika. Tanika is the one. Bonte did a lot too. Bonte did a lot too. But Tanika was the first one to kind of like put me on a platform. She used to be the producer on Murph and Mac, and then she started working with The Athletic. And she was the one that said, hey, they want us to start a Kings podcast. I think you'd be good for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to link you up with, you know who Jason Jones is? I'm going to link you up with him. And that's how Throne Room Breakdown happened. She started. So I hadn't seen Tanika in years, mm-hmm. and I saw her last night. So that was cool. I said, what's up to Dante Whitner? I didn't take a picture with him, but he was, you know, he's like, what's up, my guy? What's up? I was like, what's up, Dante? How you doing? And then I didn't get a picture. I didn't.
No, why would you? No, at least you got one with Coach JT, though. Got that. No, there's no problem with Coach JT, who's here every other week, but Patrick Willis? No. Dante Whitner? No.
Coach JT going to be on the Chatty House after party this week.
Let's go.
That's what the streets are telling
Let's
me.
Let's go. Glad to see it.
Yeah.
Glad to see it. This is one of those moments where, like, I don't know if this happened to you. We had a meeting right before walking in the room with, Stacey's been a character on the show. She's not with us anymore. She went off to launch her own venture. Mm-hmm. And so the guy who's coming in to fill Stacey's role is here for the first time. And he was, you know, he's talking and he's giving this big speech and seems like a wonderful guy and says, yeah, I've been listening to all of the shows on the app. And man, did my heart drop. As soon as he said it, I was like, oh, God. What did he hear? Did he hear the Tasha story? Like, what exactly has he heard?
I was expecting him to be like, you know, I've been listening. I listen to all the shows on the app. There's some where we got to take care of some things.
Listening to some shows. Speaking of, I'm going to need to see you two after the meeting's over. We got our first order of business to tend to.
No, and look, can I say this in all respect to everybody? But that meeting was kind of pissing me off. Oh. If it wasn't the introductory situation, mm-hmm. I might have spoke up.
Okay, because
on two occasions mm-hmm. they were pissing me off. Did you catch them?
Well, I assume he approached with the San Francisco 49ers Cup instead of the Kings Cup.
No,
of course that wouldn't bother you.
Well,
no, why would that bother you?
It's 49ers.
Well, but he said he's got the Kings Cup.
Yeah,
okay.
I got love.
I missed it, but admittedly, one of the people who spoke, I just tuned out because I'm still really confused as to what he's doing here. I asked four people, what is this individual's job? Does anybody know? I don't know.
Well, one was... That individual,
yeah.
He was talking about, you know.
Okay, I know, yeah.
He goes,
yeah.
Well, it's kind of like the World Series. Yeah. Did you see the Dodgers?
Caught that. All right. Caught that.
Who's the new guy?
Caught that.
Who's the new guy? Does he know where he's at?
I caught that.
So that pissed me off. And then, in the middle of the presentation, somebody joining the Zoom comes on there with his stupid-ass Warriors hat on and his stupid-ass... threes up. I said, wait, Jonathan, get this guy off the screen.
Well, I don't know why that guy was on the screen, but I do think he is one of the San Francisco employees.
Well, look, he can be a fan of whoever he wants to. Jonathan, get him the hell off the screen.
Well, I think Jonathan was already having some some struggles up there with the screen, so there's a lot of people that aren't normally here.
I noticed that today.
Yeah,
parking lot looks a lot cooler.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. Yeah.
People might have to park across the street.
Aaron's dressed different today. It's just all sorts of the tribal chief is dressed a little bit.
Hey, buddy,
different.
You haven't been here for a few weeks. You don't sit here anymore. This is my seat.
So weird, man. This stuff is so weird.
So yeah, I was like, all right, hold on. I almost booed. I ain't gonna lie to you. I almost booed.
He made that Dodgers reference, and I kind of chuckled because I was like, I bet Kenny.
Oh no, that stuck out like a sore thumb. I said, "All right, sir, strike one."
Again, I don't know what the guy does. I kept asking, Katie, what does he do here? She goes, "I don't know." He used to be here before, but no one knows. Yeah, sorry to Stephen Brown. Stacey's moved on. It's like sorry, Stephen.
Mm. That was his girl.
That was his girl. Yes, indeed. Stephen Brown and Snow Bunnies.
Shout out to our
Chatty House.
Our new members though. Big ups to them.
Yeah.
They'll understand when they're part of the show. It's because of love.
The new Aaron looks like a UFC fighter.
Nah, he's at malnutrition.
he's absolutely at malnutrition.
That's where he's at.
Yeah. That's going to be my icebreaker. Hey, did you see my workout videos? Yeah, you meet your new boss and you just say a bunch of stupid stuff. Hey, look, I work out too. Did you see that? Huh?
Oh, man.
Goodness
look, this
gracious.
Was such a big deal. Sylvie even turned around.
I noticed that too.
I said, oh.
Now she's back to facing the direction she normally faces.
It was only for 5 minutes.
She was even smiling and everything.
It was only for 5 minutes, but she turned around. I said, wow.
Shout out, Sue. Right. Oh, man.
Yeah. But great, joyous time at the 49ers game last night, and it was made better because they came away with the victory. I was worried a couple different times in that game. I was worried the first half.
It felt like they were going on a run in the fourth quarter, but really they just scored twice. Like, that's all it was. They got in the end zone, and then it was like, oh, man, I'm going to need the 49ers to put this one away.
Well, it was the classic, and I understand. I don't have the biggest problem with it. I don't have a problem with the strategy of you're up three scores, or I don't know if it was exactly three scores, but you're up 16 points or something.
I was thinking about a fourth quarter double-digit lead disappearing again.
Oh, when it got to six, I said, here we go again. And it was six with like 3.5 minutes to go. I said, bro, they got all three timeouts. They're going to use them before the 2-minute warning. This is going to be crazy. But I do understand the strategy of if they want to go 9 plays, 75 yards, mm-hmm. and just keep dinking and dunking, mm-hmm. like the clock is your friend. Mm-hmm. Like, they need an immediate score. So I get that. I get that's why that was happening. But I was sitting there like, oh, Dak is going to do what Dak does.
Man.
And here's what Dak does. And this is Prize Picks. Shout out to Prize Picks. I had Dak Prescott under 247 yards. No, I had him more than 247 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know in the fourth quarter, he had 116 yards?
Mm.
I said, oh, I'm not even tripping.
Mm-hmm.
He going to get this.
Because
it's his time. Mm-hmm. It's his time. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, Dak.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, touchdown. Oh, 80 yards on the drive. Oh, yeah, let's go, let's go. Mm-hmm. And then we get to, hey, get the ball back. And at this time, I am worried about the lineup a little bit, but I need to win more importantly. Did you know, they get the ball back, Dak has 243 yards.
Mm-hmm.
He just needs 5 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Not one completion in 4 attempts.
Do you know why I know that?
You had the same
I
one.
Took less.
Oh, they got one. I should have checked with him first.
I took less. I had a bad. So I lost my first lineup of the day because what's my man in Atlanta? Bijan?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fell 4 yards short.
Oh.
I was like, nah, I can't do this. I gotta run it back. And I hit because I thought I was like, I'm cooked. I'm cooked again. Like this I'm gonna have to hand my Prize Picks and this is gonna have to get handed off to somebody else. But I had a good Friday night because of the Sacramento Kings, and I had a good Sunday night because Dak, and I've defended Dak for a really, really long time. He's not a good quarterback.
He's an average at best quarterback.
He's not a good quarterback.
He's an average at best. Look, let me expand on that story just a little bit more too. So I got my bets, you know, whatever. And
lineup.
I got my lineups.
Yep.
I got my lineup, and I'm looking at Dak, and I see what's going on. I said he's at 243.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, he about to go over. And then he goes 4 straight plays, nothing. I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't see that coming. All right. Go and check my bet, my lineup, and I'm like, let me see how much money I made. And it was a loss. And I said, oh, no. I picked more. I thought the whole time I thought I picked less.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, no.
No.
I had Kittle with 0.5 receiving and rushing touchdowns. That was easy. Mm-hmm. Rob Curdy, I think, was like 230-something yards. He went way over that. I was cooking. Yep. And I said,
what a day from Kittle, by the way.
Oh, man. Big-time game. Big-time game. And I said, oh, yeah, I have Dak less than 247. I'm winning. And I go to check the lineup. I had him at more. Oh. No.
The Cowboys really are, and I'm not, like, this isn't, like, fan funny. That's a bad football team. And I was worried at I was worried for a stretch of that game, because my honest first opinion is that game's kind of playing out. I had the feeling for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Watching the 49ers, I had a feeling watching that game that, like, I'm watching two bad football teams.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And the 49ers started to play in a way where I was like, okay, I don't think the 49ers are a bad football team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love the way that the game ended, but it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you've said this, and it's not wrong. Like, the Cowboys are notorious for scoring a bunch of points in the fourth quarter. They did against Baltimore. Like, I think it was Baltimore,
yeah,
right?
Baltimore, yeah.
Yeah, where we started to get this idea, like, oh, okay, you know, maybe there's something here. There's nothing there. Like, they can't run the ball. They've got Dalvin. They've got the skeletons of Dalvin Cook and Ezekiel Elliott up here trying to run the football. And that's where I try to stall Dak out a little bit. Mm-hmm. But then I watch him, and it's like, man, what happened to you? Like, Dak was not a bad quarterback. I'd argue Dak used to be a really good quarterback. And I don't know if it's the roster. I don't know. I hate saying, I don't know if it's the money. I don't know if it's just him. I don't know what it is. But, man, he is a shell of the quarterback that he used to be.
You know what the issue is with Dak Prescott for me? It's not his talent. He is capable. And I'm not going to classify him as a bad quarterback. I think he's an average quarterback because he's talented.
Man.
His decision making is awful. The whole line of he'll give you one at some point, yes, he will give you one. The two interceptions, I'll give him a little slack for the second one where D'Amore Lenoir picked him off. That was a great play by him, and I could see what he was trying to do with CeeDee Lamb. But the first one, where Jair Brown is just sitting back there the entire time, and Dak just, I'm just going to throw it.
Mm-hmm.
The safety's there the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking at? Like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
And his decision making is awful.
It's
awful. There's some things real quick with the 49ers that I just want to throw some things out there, and I want to know what you think about it.
So can we do this? Because I said we were going to talk about the Kings this hour.
Yeah.
Write those thoughts down. I still want to talk about Nick Bosa and his behavior and why I will forever refer to him as a little bitch. So we'll do that. So let's put all that, because I do want to talk about the Kings.
Yeah, let's do that.
There's a ton of Kings conversations to be had. We'll start those next. We'll get back to the 49ers. We'll take a look around the rest of the NFL as well. James Hamm in the final hour of the show. Steelo and KC. Brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Back
let's
now.
Okay. Let's go. Real quick, because it was asked in the chat. For those that are wondering, download the Prize Pick app today.
Mm-hmm.
Use the code KIFM
mm-hmm.
to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code KIFM to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game, must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for more details. Check my socials too,
because
I'm going to have, I'm going to do this every game. I'm going to have what I call that bean money. You know what I mean? And we go every time the Kings play, I'm going to have a Kings lineup set for that game. So I'm going to have one tonight for when they play the Portland Trailblazers. Saturday, everything was all good. It was all good. I had this little combination of Fox points. And
I got that.
Stuff.
Yeah.
I had Anthony Davis below 13 rebounds. Yeah. I was cooking. Malik Monk, more than 2.5 three-pointers. 2 three-pointers.
Mm-hmm.
I think he missed 2 or 3 in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Malik, come on, man.
Hmm.
Come on, big dog. So, hey, that Prize Picks. I love him. I love him. I'm back at it tonight, baby. I'm back at it tonight. We're going to win tonight. Kings and me.
You talking about that bean money, which is such a plausible phrase, but you said it.
You take that to Vegas or something?
Yeah, we're here. Like, there's
bean
nothing.
Money.
You've already said it, so.
Hashtag bean money.
Well.
It's there, bro.
It's there.
It's there.
Do something. I can't say Kings.
That's a shoot. We told Zell, who just out here dropping new tracks like crazy. But hasn't dropped the remix he's promised. I think we might need a remix to your video.
Which one?
Your little celebratory video where you tag Magic Johnson for...
You
tag Naomi Osaka. Like you just tag all these random people.
I tagged Quincy Jones yesterday.
I noticed that. I was embarrassed, but it's nothing we could do about it. At least you didn't tag Patrick Willis in it.
For once, these celebrities, like, who is tagging me in this? Like, who is this guy?
Well, I'm sure Ricky Starks had the same sentiments a few years ago. I think we might need a little update to the video.
What you thinking?
We'll talk about it. Well, first of all, let's change your hoodie.
Hoodie definitely changed.
John Bull out here digitizing Casey's hoodie so he doesn't get canceled because of his Beam money.
I smell what you're cooking.
Okay.
I smell what you're cooking.
All right. Yes, all right. We'll work on it. Let's shift our attention. We've got a lot more to talk about with the San Francisco 49ers for sure, but they get a big win headed into their bye week. The Cardinals win in walk-off fashion. So that was a big win for the 49ers yesterday.
What do you want me to do, bro? They're not a good football team.
Return the favor when we come there in December. Okay. Return the favor.
They might. Shout out Tua. That's all I know.
Well, they looked better with Tua, that's for sure.
They did.
Come on, Tua. Just don't get hit, bro. Come on, man. Don't get hit. Don't get hit.
Have you learned how to putt? Tua learned how to slide.
There it is. So we'll talk more about the San Francisco 49ers coming up here. But let's go to the Sacramento Kings. They fall to 0-2. A close loss to the Lakers, 131-127. That was a bizarre game where the Kings fell behind really early, clawed their way back into the game before halftime, had a great third quarter, started to feel really, really good about this team, really, really good about this game. And then the Lakers open up on a 21-0 run, a fourth quarter, 21-0 run. I think, it caught me like pretty quick that Mike didn't call timeout right away. Mm-hmm. And I think Deuce noted that he didn't call timeout till it was 14-0, till the run was 14-0. And then, of course, it gets to 21-0. Lakers shot 80% in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
16 of 20. They outscored the Kings 44-33. And Anthony Davis, who has had an absolutely phenomenal start to the season, and LeBron James, who is the greatest player of all time, scored 30 points in the fourth quarter. Just those two scored 30 points in the fourth quarter.
Man, that was...
And they still had a shot.
Well, that's why...
They needed one stop at the end to truly give themselves an opportunity, but couldn't get it.
Well, that's the thing that sticks out for me in that game. One of them, because LeBron doing what he did was insane. But you had a situation where the Kings had got it back to a two-point game. I think there might have been about 30-something seconds left. And you needed one stop. And you had LeBron bottled up. He kicks it out to AD at the top of the key for a three. And I'm watching the game. And I know AD has been fantastic. And I'm like, we'll live. I'll take that. I know he can hit threes. But I was like, we'll take it. We'll take it. You did right, Domas. Got the ball out of LeBron's hand. He kicks it up to AD. I'm going to take that three because I said if he misses this three, the Kings are going to come down and score. The Kings were – I don't know if it was considered a run because I think they were kind of going back and forth.
No, they were on a run. They had a run.
Yeah, they were scoring. It really felt like if they could get this stop, they were going to score and at least tie the game. And AD drains it.
He's just a killer.
And that's a situation where I'm not excusing or absolving all the things that we're about to talk about, but you got to tip your hat. One of the top 75 players of all time made a hell of a shot when he had to.
Yep.
And yeah, man, you kind of tip your hat to that one because I think that's probably the shot you want. I think Rui might have been out there, but you don't want to give D'Angelo Russell a wide open shot. You don't want to give LeBron a wide open shot.
Yeah,
you don't want to give Austin Reeves. Like, if you want somebody taking a wide open three, you probably pick Anthony Davis in that situation, and he drained him.
And felt bad for Anthony Davis because everything, understandably, was LeBron. Anthony Davis had just as good of a quarter as LeBron James had.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the Lakers as a whole. Again, they were 11 of 11. Those two combined, the team as a whole was 16 of 20 in that fourth quarter. And with all of that said, with 80% shooting and all of that, the Kings were doing some things right because that 21-0 run wiped out a lead that they had going into the fourth quarter. And then they managed to get themselves back into the game. So it's not like the fourth quarter was lost. It's not like they got kicked in the teeth and couldn't recover. Like, they recovered and again put themselves in position to have an opportunity to win the game. But as you said, Anthony Davis hit a big-time shot. I think there are other things. I think there are a number. I told you I was worried. There's some things to be concerned about. Like, they were destroyed on the boards yesterday.
That was a killer. That 13 offensive boards for the Lakers is.
They were negative 13 on rebounds. You mentioned the offensive boards. They got beat by. They were negative 8. Mm. They just got crushed on the glass, and it's a tough matchup. I asked, is this one of those teams? Maybe they're a little big. Maybe they cause some problems for the Sacramento Kings. DeMar put up a Harrison Barnes number. DeMar didn't have a single rebound.
I did notice that too.
And like, if we go and point out what HB did last year, like, and again, context is important, but like, he didn't have one single rebound. And that was just the story of them getting because them getting destroyed on the glass was part of the story of that game. And so I'll ask now at 0-2, is anybody worried about this?
About the team or the rebound?
The team in general. Is anyone worried about this team?
No, not at all. Not at all. I look at the way they played in that game, and they were down big early.
Yeah, yeah.
In the absolutely. Second quarter, they were down. They were down 40-26 with 9:30 to go in that second quarter, and played well. Got back into it. They couldn't make a three to save their lives. Really, I think they started off 0-8, 0-8, or something like that from beyond the arc, and then they finally hit one. It ended.
Well,
up
that sounds familiar. But go ahead.
It ended up being like a 2-of-13 start or something like that. They couldn't hit to save their lives. But they played good basketball, got back into it, took the lead. I was feeling great at the end of the third quarter. Absolutely. When De'Aaron hit those back-to-back threes.
Yep.
And even in the fourth
quarter. Started looking at his hand.
Yeah, yeah. Even in the fourth quarter, after LeBron and AD are doing what they're doing, DeRozan hit some big shots. He hit some big-time threes. Mm-hmm. I feel like the team is still trying to get a feel, which is understandable. We told people that this may be the case coming in. I want to see. I don't think you need a feel to rebound better, though. I think that's
what do you think they're trying to get a feel for?
Just offensive flow, like where they want to go.
They scored 127 yesterday, Saturday night.
Yeah, no, offense wasn't the problem, but I still think I don't think it's all fixed. Like, I don't think they're just. Oh, they feel great with each other. I'm standing by the benchmark of I'm going to give them 10 to 12 games before I look at them and say, all right, they've hit their groove offensively. But to that point, you don't need to hit your groove as a team to rebound better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and DeRozan not having no rebounds, that is something to look at. Keegan Murray with only 4. I need Keegan Murray to rebound a little bit better than that on a nightly basis. These are the things we talked about with Keegan, right, where – some nights he'll get you 11 rebounds, and then the other night he'll get you 2, 3, or 4. And I'm like, no, you're our power forward. I need 7 to 8 every single time you step out on the floor. And the combination of those two, I want to see. What happened on the boards can't happen. And those 13 offensive rebounds are the ones that really fire me.